I don't think we had that. You chose to play it.
Or this radio station.
Or the staff and management of 590 The Fan, KFNS. What?
Sorry, but Damien, you turn your mic up.
Up? Yes. How's that?
Thanks,
that
bud.
Okay. Maybe that's why you're single.
You're talking to Blimey?
Yeah. Oh, I'm not talking to you.
Pot calling the kettle black on that one, isn't it?
That's why I said it.
Welcome, everybody. Isn't it? We're off to a great start. two guys going after each other already, but that's what makes the show interesting and fun. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. It's Monday. It's a little steamy and sticky, but otherwise, you know, things are good for most people, not for everybody, but we're glad you're here. Hopefully we can turn your day around in the course of the next 3 hours on this 29th of July, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
My daughter said to me yesterday, she said, Dad, and she never, ever criticizes the show or has recommendations. She says, Dad, I just have to ask you, could you please stop playing the Sleepy Dusty Delta? She says, I absolutely hate it. I said, oh, thank you. Thank you for that. Now I'm really going to keep playing it because sometimes it's things that are irritating that people talk about. Like if somebody tells somebody, man, you got to listen to Five, they play the most irritating, then somebody's going to check it out and they'll go, well, you're right, but I like the rest of what I heard. Right. See, you get the philosophy there and the thinking, the strategy behind that. And, of course, I know a lot of you are thinking, well, you must do that with everything you do, try to do something people won't like so they'll tell other people about it. Does anybody have anything to say? Now, it's been a whole weekend. Sure.
I do.
All right. Let me introduce Dan Levi Strauss, heir to the Levi Strauss fortune. Dan, it's all yours. You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Frank. Went and saw the movie yesterday over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
So did I.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Did you like it?
I did.
I liked it. We liked it a lot.
And my daughter saw it and her fiance, and they liked it.
Yeah. It was very... I think it was very...
It was very different.
Yes, very different.
It was a brilliant concept. Ridiculous and obviously never something that could happen, but I thought it was very entertaining.
It was.
And it's hard to find entertaining movies anymore unless they're cartoons or kids' movies because everything is about blowing everything up and just killing a bunch of people.
But it left me... I understand... The ending of the movie, and
help me out because I never can remember how a movie ends. How did it end? I never remember.
Dan, go ahead. You want to tell him it's your segment.
He got up and told
told everybody he was a fake.
Yeah, told everybody, yeah, that those weren't his songs and stuff.
And I just didn't remember if that was the absolute end of it once he did that.
Well, he let everybody download. He said, I don't want any money from this. And he let everybody download all the Beatles songs for free.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because he got hit by a bus during a blackout. And when he woke up, the world had never heard of the Beatles.
So that, it went from you thinking they're going to be mad and turn on him to they really love him and appreciate what he
did. Well, they kind of booed him a little bit. But then, you know, everybody got the music free.
He turned him around.
And he got the girl in the end.
Yes.
And by the way, I don't remember her name. She was cute.
Yeah. She was very cute.
Yeah.
Well, but what I don't understand, Dan, what about the other things? You know, like, I went into the movie thinking, okay, this kid's going to get hit by a bus, and it's during a rolling blackout, and it's this act of God kind of thing, and he wakes up, and nobody's ever heard of the Beatles. And then he's a struggling musician, and he starts playing Beatles songs, and he becomes really, really popular.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I get it.
Oops.
But there was three other things in this movie that the world had also never heard of, and I didn't understand... Their inclusion in the movie. The world had never heard of Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
The world had never heard of Harry Potter. And the world had never heard of cigarettes.
Yes.
And that's right. And I didn't understand why, because there was no other plot line involving any of those three other than the fact that you knew that this also happened to those three things in addition to the Beatles.
But then you start wondering, well, I wonder what else nobody's ever, that he didn't bother to Google. And why?
Yeah.
Because if they hadn't done that, Just forget that. It still would have been good that only the Beatles, the memory was erased from... I didn't get that either. And
thank God I saw the movie with my brother-in-law, Dan, because he knew... Because at the beginning of the movie, the kid's a 14-year-old, and he's playing in a talent show, and you know, him and the girl that's his manager, that they're having this little sweetheart romance with. So he played a song, and I bet you didn't get this part of the movie, and I never would have if my brother-in-law wasn't sitting there. But there was a song called Wonderwall. that he sang at this talent show. I mean, who sings that?
Oasis.
Oasis, okay. Unbeknownst to me, thank God my brother-in-law who was sitting next to me, Oasis based all of their music and all of their songs on their inspiration from the Beatles.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
There's a little sidebar that most people...
And exactly.
Yeah,
the Beatles. And that's the song this kid played at his talent show to inspire him to want to become a musician. But then when he wakes up, nobody's ever heard of the Beatles. Yeah. But he played that song when he was four. So, you know...
There's a lot going on there that we...
Exactly. Yeah. It was. I thought it was an ingenious. Once I was told that,
right.
I thought that was an ingenious inclusion in the movie that was the case.
Okay. Oh, I think so too.
And again, we don't want to spoil too much for people.
Oh, we've already but given
how
the
about
away.
But how about the visit to somebody? From the past.
Yeah. Yes.
Was that guy not? You almost thought, holy mackerel, he's not dead. That's all I can say.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it made me feel good. It made me think. Well. There's the one good thing that's come out of this. This guy's a fraud, and he's playing somebody else's songs. He's making a ton of money out of it. But on the other hand, somebody who tragically was killed lived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I really enjoyed it yesterday. Anything else, Dan? Anything else?
The next thing I have, and this could be probably for a Josh Bauman segment also, and
By the way, let me read. I just got a text. From Josh, he says 55 is shut down in Jeffco.
Oh, it is.
Doing
Herculaneum. Sorry.
Doing my best to get around it. Well, Dan, you and I have been in the business a while. You know, it's called work ethic.
It's called Highway 67 right there.
It's called alternative routes, and how serious are you about your radio career?
And oh, yeah.
You and I know, would find a way to get here. So let's just see if Mr. Bauman will
He's
find
slacking.
A way.
He's slacking.
Well, not yet. Not yet.
Should have taken the outer road. Test.
I did notice it shut down at the Herky Spur there.
He's sitting there right now sweating bullets thinking, oh, my goodness. Or he's at home and running late used this.
We're going to get a phone call of him stuck in traffic.
But there is 67 that will come up and all the way up, and you can go right into Arnold through on 67.
You can take did you have more for the Burke segment?
I did. This is in the lines of a Josh Bauman thing, but it has to do with gaming. Fortnite, Fortnite.
No, it's a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
Let me say, if you folks hear somebody talk in the background, it's because we left the studio door open. Well, I'll get up and close it, but it's so hot in here. Yet it's really nice out in the hall.
It really is.
So that will be a preliminary, before it happens, explanation of voices you might hear. So Fortnite, go ahead.
Fortnite just wrapped up its first ever. It's a massive, they call it a sporting event in New York's Arthur Ashe Tennis Stadium.
Okay.
So what they had it at Arthur Ashe Tennis Stadium, and it was anyone's game. There are people there that were pros on this. I guess they get sponsors. They get paid to do this. And they played, and the winner was a 16-year-old kid. He won $3 million.
Wow. Now, how does this work? Do people watch it on a big screen, or is it one game a lot of people are playing, or is it different games?
It's different games. It was all different games. He had to win. I can't remember how many he had to win.
So it's levels like poker? You went around, you go the next round, you go the next round? Yeah.
Yeah. So he won $3 million, and then...
If you're 16, think about this.
Oh, my...
And you get
here where he doesn't have to work if he doesn't want to. No. He can just invest that, chill out for the next 2 years.
Yeah, if he's
years.
Smart and kind of conservative, he doesn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
For the rest of his life.
This kid won's second place guy was 24 years old, and he won $1.8 million for second place. Third place, $1.2 million. And fourth place was like $1.05 million or something
I don't think most of us... Let's just say people over 50 have any idea how big the gaming business is and how much money is spent on gaming.
Colleges are starting to put together e-teams.
Courses
and scholarships now for people to join the e-team to play other schools in like Fortnite or whatever the game is.
And universities... struggled with what school, where do we put these kids? In our business school, in our journalism school, in our, you know where they're putting them? In the athletic department.
Are they?
They're making them athletic scholarships.
Wow. Well, that's what this was called, a world sporting event.
Well, why not? Why is it that much different than playing shooting pool?
Oh, you have to practice.
Yeah.
You practice rugby, you practice pool.
And you're developing coordination and timing and reaction time and reflexes.
And there's revenue to be generated from these tournaments. I mean, this isn't just something to do, some hobby. This is a revenue-generating sport. It's turning into a revenue-generating sport.
Yeah.
I wish I understood how to play the newer games. But did you ever go up in a store where they have a display model and try to figure out the controls? They lost me at Duck Hunt in Nintendo. and Mario Brothers. That was kind of different. And I did get into Black, the game Black, and that's it. That's where it ended for me. Because I tried some other stuff, and I just could not. There's too much to figure out. This secret box and that key opens this, and if you drop this guy, this thing pops up, and a balloon comes over, and it's worth so many points. Mm-hmm. Nah, too much.
And Fortnite, I have watched people play Fortnite before, and it is pretty, it's pretty cool, pretty intense.
Is it graphic? Is it war?
Yeah, it's war. You're dropped in, you parachuted into a war zone.
What time period?
Like this time
period. Okay, it's not medieval
stuff. No, it's not that. And then you have to collect items to build things. You can actually build things, but then you go around and you shoot. You can either be on a team in a group or you're individual.
I'm out.
And that's what this guy was, individual.
Too complicated.
And you go around and the last person standing wins that.
The reason there are these guys battle. Who live in their parents' basements and that's all they do is because to be good at it, you have to do it. Hours and hours every day. You can't.
You've got to give up a large section of your life and dedicate it to that.
Right.
Well, look at YouTube. How many people have YouTube channels that just play video games and they're making tons of money?
Okay, but go look at some of the YouTube people who are making money. It's not just somebody sitting in front of a camera every once in a while. They have a makeshift studio, a high quality camera, and they work all day, every day on what the next video is going to be. It's a lot of work.
I know.
It's a lot of work.
I know.
And I don't think I haven't thought about this YouTube thing. I thought, what could I do to get a million people to come look at me on YouTube, maybe once a day?
Strip.
No, that would not.
That would shut the whole YouTube down.
And I cannot, I can't think of anything.
That's why they have something called Twitch. And that is, there are lots of girls on there that play video games
naked?
In, not really naked, but in risque underwear.
Oh, nice. Yeah. It's called Twitch.
Here's what I said to somebody yesterday. I forgot who we were talking to. There are courses in college on everything. You can take a college course on things like studying the success of the Rolling Stones. I mean, why? You can. You can take basic just rock, of course, in rock music. You can take a college course. And
what was that one teacher that was suspended in Mizzou a couple of years ago? She was teaching the effects of Lady Gaga in the modern world or something like that?
And the impact and influence of her music.
Yeah, right.
So if they have courses like that, what all this comes down to is, what am I going to do with the last phase of my life and what's my career going to be? If and when this goes away and there's no place else to do it. And I thought, surely there must be a college course in joke telling. And I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you why. Thousands and thousands of people have to get up and speak. People at seminars, people who are CEOs, they have to speak, and they don't want to get up. And what are they always told? Start with a joke. Well, here's the problem. If you start with a joke and you don't know how to tell it and it bombs, goodbye to the rest of your speech. You just lost everybody. So there should be a course in how to tell a joke. And the first thing you do within the course of the first 3 weeks is you eliminate, it's like Navy SEALs, you eliminate the people who just can't cut it. The people who just, no matter what, will never be able to tell a joke. Thanks for coming, but you're out. Now, the select few who are left, you hone the craft of joke telling and the skill of joke telling. And that it's not just the punchline. It's about, in fact, Tim said something the other day about some joke I told. He said the telling of the joke's better than the punchline. There are a lot of jokes like that. I would be open for a giant salary, not a standard teacher salary, to teach a course in basic joke telling.
You could start a St. Louis, like they have high school debate teams. You could start a St. Louis high school joke telling league. You could have a varsity and a JV team. Hey, you're cut. Your jokes, sucked. You're cut. You're down to JV. I didn't laugh.
Now, how about this? How about a show like American Idol or America's Got Talent, but instead of ventriloquist or singing, it's all nothing but people telling jokes. Not
they stand do that up, already.
No, not stand-up comedy. Telling jokes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Guy comes into a bar, blonde, goes to a show, that kind of thing.
Call it the joke off. You call it the, we have it. I do that when you're gone. We have a joke off.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but I mean like a real network.
Oh, I understand. Know, I understand. TV I understand the concept.
And I guess it's not going to ever happen.
Yeah, they have that show on now, Bring the Funny, and Jeff Foxworthy.
Bring the Fun or something, yeah.
Who was the host of the show Make Me Laugh?
Oh.
This came up not long ago.
Yeah.
Yes. A little short guy, and he was a comedian, not a real well-known one, not tremendously successful, but as soon as you say it, I'll know his name.
Oh, my goodness.
And his name was...
The concept was actually pretty good.
Bobby Van.
Bobby Van? Mm-hmm. And when you have a time, 60 seconds, let's say, and... The contestant, Mrs., Arlene Schnagmeyer from, Peoria, Illinois, mm-hmm. you have 60 seconds to make her laugh.
She was funny.
No, she's, you have to make her laugh. She's not telling the joke.
Oh, that's
and
right.
So in 60 seconds, you got to say something to make her laugh out loud. That's actually a pretty funny idea.
Right.
So, Dan, did you have anything else?
No, okay. That was it.
Anybody else?
Yes, sir.
Tim Woodburn, everybody.
I have three things.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
No, you say thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, yeah,
thank you're welcome.
Okay, yeah, you're welcome.
I have been a lifelong sports fan. I wanted to be a sportscaster when I was growing up. I was a sportscaster for 16 years, and I have seen millions of sports highlights over the course of time. And I'm a fan of all sports, but I saw something over this past weekend that I have never, and I mean ever, seen. At a professional sporting event, I'm going to describe to you what it is.
Wow, now we're on the edge of our seats. That's a good setup. Mm-hmm.
Here's how this story starts off. Ready? You'll love the first five words of how this story starts off. Ready? So there are these two lesbians.
I like it already.
See?
But are they good looking?
Good start.
They walk into a bar.
I'll give one a 9,
ooh,
and I'll give the other one a 4.
Okay, we'll just concentrate on the 9.
These women are...
Walk into a carpet store and start munching?
Well, close.
My goodness.
Thank you.
They walk into a Wimbledon tournament and start playing as couples. These girls are lesbian lovers, doubles tennis players, and they played at Wimbledon, this past Wimbledon. And they're lovers. They didn't do too well. Their names are Allison Van Utdijk. And she's from Belgium, and her partner, and I say that in more ways than one, her partner is Greet Minnen, and they played in Wimbledon, and didn't do too well as doubles, didn't advance or anything, but now they played in a WTA, that's the World Tennis Association, or the Women's Tennis Association event in Belgium, and by the luck of the draw, they had to play each other in the second round.
Mm.
And Van Utdijk and Minnen, and there's a few openly gay players on the women's tennis tour, but these two are top of the heap. They're a couple. You know, they walk around. It's very obvious that they're in a relationship. They had never faced each other in a singles match. Now, this is a sanctioned, for-money, professional women's tennis tour event, and they had never played each other, and they had to play each other because of the draw. And this took place in Germany, by the way, last week. So the one girl, Van Utdijk, beat her.
I just like hearing that.
Beat her partner. It was three sets. So she beat her 6-4, 1-6, and then she throttled her in the third set 6-1.
Mm.
And after the match was over, they met at the net. And most women, when they meet at the net, give each other a little handshake. Sometimes you might see a hug.
Tongue kissed.
These two made out.
They made out.
You don't see that.
A little hug, and then a makeout.
And a hug always leads to something.
Wow. And I'm just saying, I have never seen that ever in a sporting event in my life, and will probably never see it again unless these two play or unless two other women.
You won't see Nadal and Federer make it.
I'm just saying, if there was two gay guys on tour and they had to play each other in a tennis event and one beat the other, I don't think they probably wouldn't make out at the net.
No,
but these two made out at the net. And it's funny that you said, are they hot? Because one is smoking hot, and the other one, has 5,000 freckles on her face and red hair and a big, long, pointy nose Four and a nine. So I just thought I'd bring that to your attention that our sports world has now had that added to.
I imagine you can see this on YouTube.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Just the search bar, just type in lesbians
lesbians making out
after tennis match.
MSN, Microsoft News, MSN.com. It's one of their lead stories. So you can get to the link through MSN.com if you're you're into that kind of thing.
We got some way better videos than that.
Really?
Well, of course, just type in tennis stuff. Chicks making out.
Oh,
way better.
Yeah, well, this is real. I mean, these girls actually play tennis.
I'm sure like she does,
For money.
What did you call the big tournament in England again?
Wimbledon?
Okay.
What was I supposed to call it?
I thought you said Wimbledon.
No, it's a D. Okay. I know it's a D. Okay. I may have accentuated it incorrectly, but I know it's called Wimbledon.
I miss
Mike
her.
Evans used to, Mike Evans.
We're all here to shame each other.
I've got a video on YouTube here titled "Sexy Lesbians Working Out, Fighting, and Lesbian Kissing." Want to watch that one?
No.
Well, no. We're not on radio. If we're on 11.2,
we could show that in the upper corner.
We can't do that. Did you have anything else?
Two other quick things. So I turned 50 on Saturday. I'm now in my 50s. And as a sign of my ongoing maturity, I bought myself two gifts to symbolize the maturity of turning 50. Mm. One of them was a second pair of reading glasses so that I can now read in my car as opposed to just the one pair I had, which sits next to my couch at home.
No. Here's what you're going to find. You don't need two. You need about 12.
Yep.
You'll see. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Why only read in two spots? On my couch or in my car?
You will, and you come let me know the day you have six or eight pairs, because you will. Everybody I know does. Two won't cut it.
I do. I have several upstairs. I have several downstairs. It's only because...
Oh, you'll see.
Why do you read in all those areas, Dan?
Well, when you walk over...
You're reading in one area.
Well, I'll do reading sitting on the couch or something. Then I'll set my glasses down. I'll get up and I'll go in the kitchen, and it's like, oh, crap, I need to read something.
I have at least a dozen, probably 16, everywhere. All drawers, pockets, my bag. I have one in the bag now in case I forget the ones on my shirt. I'm not kidding.
I've been a one-man band I've probably been wearing reading glasses for a year and a half now. Okay. And if they're on my porch room, I'll have to walk out there and get them, bring them into the car.
Yeah.
1.5.
Okay, well, that's why you don't need multiple. When you get to two, or you'll need them everywhere, mm-hmm. because you'll realize a lot of stuff you just can't see.
Right.
At one, you can sort of squint and make it out. So what was the other thing?
So, and the other gift was something that Bill Cleveland and I briefly commented on during the show last week. It was the shirt in honor of Kenny Powers from the show Eastbound and Down, and I bought myself a size 3XL t-shirt, and the big white letters on the black shirt says "Blink if you want me." And so the shirt hasn't come in yet, but when it comes in, I'm going to take a picture of myself as my Facebook profile pic, and I'm going to put my new reading glasses on with my "Blink if you want me" shirt on, and that's going to be my new profile pic for my 50s.
All right. Beautiful. Welcome to the 50s.
Thank you.
On behalf of everybody who has been there.
I forgot. What's your name?
Yeah.
Right. Make sure you go get your prostate checked.
You're joking. That'll come too. Yeah, that'll come too. Yeah, have you had a prostate check?
I have scheduled my first one, and of course the first question out of my mouth was
how big are your fingers?
So I actually have a female primary care physician who's been my doctor for about the last 7 years, and she's a nine. I mean, and so she's not doing it.
No.
But we had this conversation when I got back from Europe with you guys, and I scheduled it. And she's like, well, okay, you can do it one of two ways. I said, well, what are the options? She goes, well, you can do the surgical procedure where they actually put you out, and they take a scraping of you, and you can't drive yourself home. You got to have somebody like drive you home.
Oh, no, you're talking about a colonoscopy.
I said prostate exam. I'm sorry. No, we're talking about the digital prostate.
Well, don't they look up...
They don't look up anything. They just it's a finger deal. You've not had that?
But no, check your prostate.
But it goes in both ways. I mean, you're going in the same door, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But it's just a glove and a finger. You've never had that?
No.
Oh,
what kind of prostate are you?
You better have that.
Well, okay, I'm on the road trip. But she said, so she said, if you have a colonoscopy, she goes, you can have the procedure where they go in and they take a scraping, and if you're good, you're set for 10 years.
Right.
And I said, well, what's option two?
It's you send in a sample. Yeah. It's called Cologuard or something.
You get a poo in a jar?
You poo in a bag and you mail it in.
It's a prepackaged thing. You mail your poop to. Now, who's the guy that opens those? Who's that guy?
I'd like to have that. I was just thinking that. You just mowed my lawn. I'm like, well, what's that job description?
Oh, no.
What criteria do they have to have that position?
They have commercials for it with the little box talking, that little talking box. And they say, yeah, just put your poop in here. And could you imagine you put it outside and a porch pirate comes up and takes it?
Oh, I'm gonna steal that package.
Well, are you supposed to, like, so, you know, inquiring minds have to know. I do have a journalism degree. Do you poop into the box?
Do you give the toilet
and then you go
They
get
give
it.
You a little thing to catch. It catches it. Yeah.
Oh, you got it. There's a
It'll go over the toilet.
But here's
toilet
the deal.
Seat.
That's not
like a skimmer where it drains it out?
It kind of is. But here's the thing. That's not as effective. That's like a 90%. You might as well just go ahead and be completely sure.
Why just want all
this to poop right in the box?
I don't know if it's a box. I've never seen that.
No, you don't poop in the box.
They make it pretty easy. You don't send in like a giant sample. It's just enough to,
like a full load.
No.
They give you, they give you a thing.
Like on your front porch, and then you got, because you don't want it to be wet, because they don't want the box to be.
They give you something that goes into the, that goes over the toilet seat, and you just kind of poop in that.
Like
and
saran wrap?
I don't know.
It's like a bag or something?
No, I think it's a little...
A to-go bag?
Just do the real way. Just get it over with. Do it right. Be 100% sure. Anything else?
Somebody got a Happy Meal? Did you want the apples or the corn?
Dan, okay. Goodness. Did you have anything else?
No, just a link if you want me. Reading Glasses, Facebook profile shirt. It'll be on my Facebook page, hopefully by the end of the week.
Okay. Limey, do you have anything?
I got nothing.
Come on, Limey.
Burke's segment.
Got nothing.
It's closed. Officially.
Done.
We actually have callers. I can't imagine why. Here are numbers. I'll give them. You're welcome to call about anything. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Steve is here. Steve, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Doing well, thank you, Frank. AM and the PM.
Thank you, Steve. You've called many, many times before. You have a very recognizable voice.
Well, I hope I appreciate that.
It's not good or bad. It's just it's very recognizable. What's going on, Steve?
Well, I remember a discussion about a month ago. You were talking about making up your own joke.
Well, we tried and failed.
I think I finally may have made one up, and it was over the course of today and yesterday.
Well, anybody can make up a joke. The question is it really funny? Is it the kind of joke that will get legs and have other people tell other people tell other people, and it becomes a real joke, like the guy goes into a bar type jokes. So you wrote all of this joke.
I'm pretty sure I've never heard it before.
If you've never heard it before, then you wrote it. But I'm before you tell it, I just have to tell you, it's a tough room, but we're brutally honest. And if it's not funny, then we're not going to act like it's funny. So you?
Oh no, I completely understand.
Well, let's have it. I'm ready.
And if you've already heard it, you may mow my lawn.
Well, now, hold on. I can't imagine we have because you made it up.
Well, that's
he's not sure.
I think I made it up.
Well, if you're not sure, maybe you heard it. And
yeah, one of those subconscious things.
No, well, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, it's a bit vulgar, so I will try to tame it down. As much
please
as
do for this show. Thank you.
Well, there was a little league baseball team. And they were getting really good, and turns out that the coach, the manager of the Little League baseball team, was actually diddling the little boys.
Oh my goodness!
What?
A pedophile? The coach is a pedophile?
Yeah.
That's a great joke.
Light-hearted joke.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Like I said,
go ahead.
But they finally make it to. They finally make it to regionals, and they're headed to Florida, and they're flying first class. This is the best team in the league. And finally, one of the flight attendants looks over, and she notices that the coach is taking the kids and walking away and hiding for a second. And again, they're the best. They're flying first class. And so the stewardess, she notifies the pilot and all that, and finally they go up and they talk to the kid. And well, has he been doing things to you? And the little boy says, "I'll never say put me in, coach, again."
Oh,
Steve!
I think, oh my goodness,
Steve!
There is something seriously, seriously, seriously wrong with you, Steve. Put me in, coach.
I told you it was dark, man.
Steve, we're going to do you a giant favor. Never tell that joke.
Yes.
Again.
Yes. Never.
You picked the right test audience here with us, because we will advise you strongly. Never tell that joke again.
Just bury that.
I agree.
And I do believe you made it up, because that's not a joke I don't think anybody's ever heard before.
No.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
God.
Man.
Wow.
Well, Steve, it has to be a relief to now know whether or not you can move forward with that joke.
Well, Steve, I want you to walk away from this phone call with at least one gold medal. That's the worst joke I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, you're walking away with something from this.
The text line's been I do not like him.
Yeah, when you told it, you even kind of sounded like that guy.
Maybe you were the coach.
Yeah. I was a little apprehensive.
Yeah. So, well, Steve, if you write another joke, don't call us.
I thought you were going to say call another station.
In fact, wait a second. Why take our word for it? Call KMOX and tell that joke. They may have a different reaction.
Yeah. Charlie Brennan will love it.
Oh, that's the show right there. Yeah. All right, Steve. Thank you.
Thanks.
He's still chuckling about it.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, phones are open to anybody. We don't, necessarily. Well, I think we made it pretty clear. We didn't.
That was an uncomfortable joke.
That was definitely uncomfortable.
And my least favorite part of the call is prior to him telling the joke, he said, "I'm going to tone it down for you."
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to hear the other version. And now it's Kay's turn. Kay, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hello. I'm sorry I had to follow that.
Well, don't be. I'm glad somebody else is on right behind that call. What can we do for you?
I just wanted to tell you I did that Cologuard test.
Yeah.
And it's none of those things that you guys said. You ship it back in an envelope.
You got to poop in an envelope?
No. You put it in an envelope.
Oh.
So you poop in the toilet, and then you take this little wand that has bristles on it, and you touch the poop, and then you just scratch this little card, and then another little tool, you just swirl it in the water, and then put some of the water on the card, and then you close the card, and it's sealed, and then you ship it back in an envelope.
So, yeah, it's just a tiny sample. Okay. Like a tiny sample.
So you don't lick the envelope, do you?
No.
No. God. No.
Well, now we know. And did you get your results back?
Yeah, it was negative, and then I had a colonoscopy, and it was completely negative too. So.
Good. And why did you have one if you did the Cologuard thing?
Well, the Cologuard thing came free. My insurance company sent it for free. As I guess they sent out a number of them throughout the United States, and so I just did that.
You were smart to do the other, because it is not. And I'm sure they tell you on the package, it's not 100%. It's it's a good indicator.
Yeah, she told me to do it, so I thought, well, I might as well.
Okay, so, all right. Well, now we know. Now we know how it works. We don't have to speculate. Thank you, Kay.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye. There you go. It's a tiny, tiny sample. Don is next. Don, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How about you?
Terrific. What can we do for you?
Well, when you guys were off in the UK enjoying yourself and left Limey here to work his tail off by himself, I called Limey one day and we chatted for, 10 minutes or so on the radio. I'm a truck driver.
Hey, Don, I remember you. How you doing, sir?
Pretty good. Thanks. And, well, I really just called to say kind of partially goodbye. I've chosen to leave St. Louis. I'll listen to you guys on the app.
Okay, good.
I'm still AM into PM.
Good, thank but, you. He's still AM into PM. He says, there you go.
There you go. There we go. And I still plan to come to St. Louis to buy my car from Johnny Landoff.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm leaving St. Louis. I'm taking the family, and we're getting the heck out of here. There's too many people shooting at one another. And I just wanted to say thanks for the memories, but I got to go.
Where are you going?
Going out to Moberly, Missouri, about 30 miles north of Columbia, where rush hour traffic is when there's six cars at the four-way stop.
So you're not leaving the state. You're just leaving St. Louis proper. Yeah.
Getting away from all the headaches and the violence in the city.
No, hold on. Did you live? I'm sorry if you said it, I missed it. Did you live in the city?
No, actually, I'm in North County. I've lived in North County and West County since high school. And heck, I'm 53. I'm so old I can't even remember how old I am.
But why? Here, you're leaving because of the violence in St. Louis?
Yes, I really am.
Why wouldn't you just move to another part of St. Louis where people aren't leaving and don't want to leave?
Well, to be honest with you, I got family out in Moberly, and I'm the only one. I have two brothers out there, so that was part of our decision as well. I wanted some acreage. I wanted to not look out my window.
Okay, so it's not all about St. Louis is a horrible place to live because it's violent. Because the truth is, even North County, it's just a specific, a couple of little areas where, it could be a lot safer and it is dangerous. But overall, this is, a lot of people think it's a great place to live.
Two people got shot in Fenton this morning.
Yeah. That carjacking deal. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard about that, and it's just I want to go and sit down on the front porch and not worry about the neighbor washing his car with his gun on his hip.
Now, hold on.
Well, in Moberly, they might be.
Okay, how many times in your life have you seen that? One?
Just twice.
And do you know that neighbor?
No, I really don't.
Maybe that neighbor is a police officer, or not, because it's perfectly legal to do that.
Well, you got a good point there, too.
And I might, I don't, but I could wash my car in Wildwood with a gun on my hip, and that wouldn't make me a horrible person or my neighborhood.
No.
It would make it safer, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's interesting because, I have my concealed carry as well, but I feel like if I have to have it on my hip to wash my car in my driveway, I'm just not in the right place.
Right neighborhood.
Now that's just me.
It's your choice. I'm not going to argue with you, but I have a whole different take on, somebody. First of all, there are people who love to flaunt, that they carry a gun and have a gun. I never understood that because, quite frankly, I believe that in a lot of situations and in a lot of places, if there's a bad guy, he's going to take out the guy who he sees has a gun first. He's the first guy he's going to shoot because that guy is going to be in the way. So I don't know that that's always smart to do that. But hey, we wish you well. And what's most important out of all this is you're still going to listen on the app all the time, crystal clear.
Oh, most definitely. Every day.
Well, we appreciate that. Thank you, Don. We appreciate it. Good luck in Moberly.
Thanks for the memories, guys.
Memories? You act like you're leaving. You're not leaving.
Yeah, you're going to still listen.
You're listening every day.
You're just leaving St. Louis.
Yeah, but see, you guys will be not close physically.
Well, where are you? We're not close right now. We're in Kirkwood. Where are you?
Okay, well, I'm in Hazelwood, but it's still a wood there.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're like 20-30 minutes drive.
Yeah, but it's still some wood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Don. Well, thank you.
Somebody got that.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. Bye. You know that there was it was one of our advertisers whose son or daughter, about three Christmases ago, would not come to visit his own mom and dad. Or her mom and dad, I don't remember if it was a son or a daughter, because they were scared to come to any part of St. Louis.
Is that when that's that Ferguson nonsense was going on?
Yeah, it was right. But that's ridiculous. And I know that I get people out of town, they watch TV, and they go, oh, St. Louis, that's Ferguson. No, it was Ferguson in one spot, in one place. I honestly, depending on where you can go in any city and go to the wrong neighborhood and find out you shouldn't have been there. Bob, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, Frank.
Hey, thanks, Bob.
Put me in, Coach.
Joke's catching on already.
Hey, last week you were talking about how slow your computer is going.
Yeah. Is this Bob with 1 O?
It is.
Bob with 1 O, everybody.
Hey.
Good to hear from you, Bob.
Yes, I was. I have a Mac, and it just seems to be, and it's not an internet or Wi-Fi issue because it's even slow, like Word. If I go to type it, coming up, just the blank page comes. It just seems slow.
Well, I had the same problem, and I've used a non-technical solution, and it's worked for other folks too. So I have a computer. It may be a couple years old, and you go down that route of cleaning it up, scanning for viruses, taking any junk off of there.
Right.
But it turns out it was overheating. So I cleaned out the vent areas, and you can spray those out with that spray dust, because what's happening is the CPU gets too hot, and it starts saying, hey, I'm too hot, I'm going to burn up, so I'm going to slow down.
Okay, but this does it 1 minute after I've turned it on. Would it heat that quickly? Josh Bauman's in the other room. He did make it here. So
mine was literally shutting off. It was like...
Now, see, mine's never shut off. And it does it from the minute I turn it on.
Slowing down, and I'm just telling you, that's...
Okay.
You know, if it doesn't work, it's a cheap solution. Now, some people take it apart and clean it out, but that's probably beyond your scope.
My daughter went in and looked. Obviously, there's somewhere you can go in the settings and find out exactly how old it is. She says, Dad, your computer's 10 years old.
Porn overload.
Well, that, you know, could be, because I have a wife who loves to watch porn. I will discuss that with Josh. He's in the building. He did make it through all the traffic.
I just blew the vents out, and it's like, wow. It was like that was all it took.
And one of those little air can with a little compressed air? That's all you? Yeah. All right.
I had my air compressor from my garage, and I did it. But one of those can.
Whoa. Okay.
Oh, man.
I will.
The other thing about jokes.
Yeah.
And I've been wanting to say something to you about this for a while.
Okay.
People just don't tell jokes anymore. I mean,
I don't think that's true.
No. I'm around.
What do you mean? You mean on stage or in public or just in a group?
No. I just mean like informal social settings.
Well, can I tell you why? Because a handful of do-gooders and people who want to act like they're all getting panties in a knot wad and been out of shape because something offended them, people are afraid to tell a joke unless they know every single person in the group really, really well. They're afraid. And that's what we've created in this country by letting a few people tell us what jokes we can and can't tell and when and where we can tell them. I think there's probably something to that. But I hear jokes a lot, but you're right. It's with people. It's like with two or three other people that I know real well, and they'll tell one, and they'll ask me to tell one. But I think you may be right. In a group of people where not everybody knows the other people real well, they're probably very reluctant, especially if in any way it's business related.
That's true. I shut down the jokes at work. I never say anything at joke.
Well, you can't, because maybe the person you're telling the joke to is fine with it, but Susie walks down the hall and overhears it, runs into HR and goes, I heard that made me uncomfortable. So yeah, you can't.
Bob with 1 O said something.
Yeah, you remember Bob with 1 O down in that guy. Yeah, he told a joke and I heard the word blonde in the joke, and I'm blonde, and I'm offended. I'm uncomfortable. Yeah, those people. So you may be right.
Well, when I'm around older guys,
like Tim, people in their 50s.
Young people, younger guys, they just, I don't know, they just don't have the attention for it. They want the one-liners, the one hit. They start interrupting people when they start telling jokes. It just seems to be, it's like an art that's being lost. So your class...
I'm going to try to keep it alive.
That would make sense.
Well,
because I learned to tell jokes from listening to people who told jokes well.
Do you tell jokes pretty? Do you tell jokes pretty well, Bob?
I think so.
Do you have a joke? No. Do you have a? I'd love to hear just a joke. You have to have a go-to joke.
well, most of my jokes I've always heard from you.
Well, that's okay.
You know, it's just
one of those would be fine. Let me check with everybody else. Anybody want to hear Bob tell a joke?
I'm fine with it.
Wow, yeah.
The only thing that we would ask is that you do not shut him down or shoot him down.
No, I won't. You know what? I won't. I will not. It'll be hard for me to do.
I know.
But I'll bite my lip. I will not finish the joke.
Now, wait a minute. Can we put side bets on whether Frank shuts his mouth?
No, you don't have to. I won't shut him down. Bob,
because I'm going to bet against you.
I only have a minute. Can you think of a joke? Sure, you can.
No, I'll call back in and do it.
Okay. Okay, no, that's fine. No, I look forward to it. Boy. I look forward to it. Thank you, Bob.
Frank, do you ever have, like, somebody will say, like, hey, you're funny, tell a joke, and it's like, well, I can't do that. But a topic will come up, hey, I know a joke about that. I've heard you do that stuff on the radio.
Well, I do it here. I do it on the show, but rarely do I do it outside the show because I just don't do that. I don't walk around telling people jokes all the time. But I do get sometimes people go, hey, tell, and they do it in the worst possible place where there are people around I don't know, or it's too noisy and it requires a special voice, like, oh man, or something, and you can't do it and do it right. Yeah, I have that happen.
Well, I walked to this party once and this guy says, hey, this is Bob so and so. He's the funniest guy I know. Everybody in the room just stops and looks at me.
Yeah, now the pressure's
There's
on.
Nothing you can say.
No, now the pressure's on.
Like, guacamole? I mean, it's just, what do you say?
Yeah.
Hi, well, Bob. Have a good one, and I have a joke in mind. I'll come back and tell it. I'll try to keep it under a minute when I do.
Call us back. I'd love to hear it. Thank you, Bob.
Well, fine. Take care.
Long time listener, Bob with 1-0. Now, I have, Brian. Brian, welcome to 590 The Fan. I have 1 minute exactly. It's yours. Go.
Well, I'll hurry up and won't waste no time.
That's right.
He was commenting on how the world's going to hell in a handbasket last week.
Yeah.
I'm a truck driver, and you people should see these trucks out here with the foreigners in it with Bin Laden painted on the side. It's just ridiculous. You know, they got pictures of him on the side either holding a gun or a bow and arrow or something like that, and it's just, they're just, you can go to a truck stop and there'll be seven of them to three of us.
But maybe they're done in not in support, but
yeah,
making
maybe
fun.
Maybe I'm taking it wrong, but it just drives me nuts when you pull up beside him and they've got him 6 foot tall painted on the side of their truck.
Well, I look closer and hopefully there's a bullet hole in his head. Maybe there's a bullet hole that you're missing. I hope so.
One more thing before I get off here. Put me in nurse instead of coach.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Yeah, I've never seen that.
Pictures I haven't
Bin
either.
Laden, but
I've seen some pretty interesting like pictures with Bin Laden, but I've never really seen them over here and on the side of trucks. No. I've seen him wearing dumb t-shirts.
I've done some business. And then Josh Bauman did make it through the traffic. He's here, so if you have any, like Bob was telling me about how to, you know, cool off the computer by cleaning out the vents. If you have any technical questions, he'll be here for you. Give the numbers after the news. First Community Credit Union. I meant to go there today, and I got on a phone call to an advertiser, and when I realized what time it was, I knew I now don't have time to get out and go in. I like to go in, so I'll do it tomorrow when I can walk in. First Community Credit Union is where I do all of my banking, and I hope you enjoy the yard sale Saturday. They sponsor it exclusively. Have for years. Can't thank them enough for that. You can. You can help us thank them by saying thank you for the yard sale. You can say I'm AM and the PM when you go in if you are a member there and you do your banking there. And if you're not, one question. Why not? Why not? Why not think? Why not consider this? If we have for you a place where everything that you do at your bank, you can do here at First Community, but we think they do it better, where the rates are competitive, and there are over 40 locations, and it's the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. Why wouldn't you consider that? I hope you will, and even if it's just an inquiry, please tell them you're AM and the PM. Wedding loans, motorcycle loans, boat loans, and then the usual checking, savings, debit, home loans, line of credit, small business partner. They're a great small business partner. A lot of things to like about First Community Credit Union. You can find out more at firstcommunity.com. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, and 590thefan.com, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. Military officials say two U.S. service members were killed in Afghanistan when a member of the Afghan security forces opened fire on them. The shooting took place today in Kandahar. The Afghan gunman was shot and wounded and is in the custody of Afghan forces. The police chief of Gilroy, California, says the suspect in last night's deadly mass shooting at the city's garlic festival is 19-year-old Santino William Legan. Today, Chief Scott Smithy said Legan used an AK-47 type assault rifle that was purchased legally in Nevada on July 9th. Witness McKeith Price says she was eating when the shooting